Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 277. I'm Josias, at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, this is going to be a short show, so I have to pull a few things from a few places, but it's going to make sense as I roll through what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 177, we entitled hashtag Cupid's DP. At Member of the Beaner and at For the Villain, play catch-up. Hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Drop some Twitter love and shout-outs along with new podcasts to listen to. So this is, 2 years ago? 2.5 by this point. I'm suggesting probably either the 2OC podcast. The way I heard it was Mike Rowe. I'm trying to think of what others. Maybe Critical Thinking? So could have been any of those. I'm just trying to figure out now. If you guys are curious, go back 100 episodes ago. We hit What the Fuck News. Sad Atlanta Falcons fan buries team gear as warning for the future. So obviously this was after the Super Bowl of that year. The Atlanta Falcons that were ahead of, in the game against the New England Patriots. And that's a great way to see. When you see a team just get lazy and fall apart, that's the best way that encapsulates that. Get into Valentine's Day. Fast facts. Sex facts. Vibe with why some guys are choosing to wear strap-ons during sex. Ooh, I think I remember that article. Then go into comic talk, comic news. Paramount kills Friday the 13th reboot. Rumored War of the Planet of the Apes director up for Batman movie. Supergirl promo teases Lex Luthor iconic war suit. Lego Batman movie takes out 50 Shades opening at box office. X-Men Supernova. Sophie Turner confirms her return as Jean Grey. Scalped. Ordered for TV pilot and new Iron Fist and Blade of the Immortal trailers. Then finally, rock some comic news. Titans number 5 and number 6. Justice League vs. Suicide Squad number 1 through number 3. Unworthy Thor number 4. And Silver Surfer Requiem number 4. Of four, and that was Book of the Week. It was a great title I was reading at the time, and it's an older title, but that was good. So if you guys are curious about any of those topics, anything we spoke about, go back 100 episodes ago, pull that up, find it. You can find me at the Comic Syndicate in any podcast app for the most part, or always hit the comicsyndicate.podbean.com. I am at For the Villain. You guys can pretty much find me anywhere. And find us on social media, Facebook, the Comic Syndicate as well. All right, guys, bullet points. I don't have a lot to go through. I have a little bit of a filler for the most part, and we'll talk about it right now. End of the year podcast is a few weeks out. So this is the 11th of December, and just the crunch time of work, the office, and then the second job, and writing down and jotting down information for the end of the year podcast has had me booked and just busier than normal, which it's weird, but to get everything down and structured, especially for the end of the year podcast, was gnarly. So as I was pulling information from the end of year or for the end of the year podcast, I came across the top 10 episodes that have been downloaded in the last month. Those are always numbers I can normally look up. Now, while I was down that rabbit hole, I'm like, well, let's see how far back I can search for the most part. And checking the stats and the data and everything, I was able to find some interesting things. So this was a deep dive I was doing, and I was going to release this along with the end of the year podcast. But that show was jam-packed already, so it's better that I toss it on here. And I'm going to give you the top 10 episodes of the past 2 years, 2017 to 2019. Now, these are the exact stats that and numbers that it gave me as far as which episodes came in and in which order. Trip out on the dates it gave me of these releases, though. So anything prior to 2017, I'm currently unable to look up. But here are the top 10 episodes of the Comic Syndicate. In the 10th place spot, came out 4/25/2015, episode 89.1, Star Wars Celebration. In the 9th place spot, came out 6/7/2019, episode 258, Last Night. In the 8th place spot, came out 6/24/2019, episode 259, Work in Progress. Number 7, 11/28/2017, episode 210, hashtag New Ride. And as I'm going through these, I'm like, fuck, I remember what I spoke about each of these episodes now. And granted, the first 9 and 8 were recent for the most part. In the 6th place spot, 4/3/2019, episode 252, hashtag Cobra Kai interview. In the 5th place spot, this one also surprised me. In the 5th place spot, came out 5/6/2014, episode 40, hashtag Parker's 99 and a half problems. Again, the numbers, and I'm like, okay, well, the stats go back that far, but to have the most downloaded for these ones, I'm like, wow, that's kind of fucking cool that 2014 and 15 are represented on this list. Place number 4, 12/19/2017. This one came out, episode 212, hashtag Crossroads. And I believe that's where Adam and I kind of tossed out the idea, like, okay, we might be disbanding soon, or he got too busy. I apparently don't know what busy is because I'm juggling too many fucking jobs over here. In the 3rd place spot, this one came out 5/26/2019, episode 256.1, hashtag throwback episode, and it was a throwback episode of episode 224, which was entitled hashtag worse than Vader. In the 2nd place spot, most downloaded episodes, 12/5/2017, this one came out, was episode 211, hashtag I do. And then the 1st place spot within the past several years, looking at 2014 dates, it was an extensive amount of podcasts and years that it went back. But in the 1st place spot, this one came out 12/28/2017. This is episode 213, hashtag Curtain Call, is the most downloaded episode. Very cool, kind of weird. Episode 214 was entitled hashtag mic check 1-2, and that one came out 5/31/2018, so about 5 months after that last one. Those numbers just tripped me out. I thought it was cool, thought it was weird. There's no way I would have been able to fit that one in, but just to go through that list is awesome. That the library is huge. I mean, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find the podcast. If I mentioned anything 100 episodes ago, for the end of the year podcast, it just happens to land on a funny fucking story that is going to take up a lot of fucking time, and that episode is going to be jam-packed already. All right, guys, let's hit it, because I think my review is going to go on for a while. Let's hit TV and movies news. Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer came out on 12/9/2019, so 2 days ago. I really enjoyed the trailer. It looks dark. It feels dark. It doesn't feel happy or funny yet. You don't get that vibe yet, like Ghostbusters 1 and 2 were or are. But it looked good to me. Yeah, I'm so stoked. I'm excited to watch it. Hopefully it's good. Next one's going to be The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, picked up by Showtime. Michael Chabon's Pulitzer Prize winning novel, The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, is heading to Showtime as a limited series. This is a really cool book. We had a book club at the office, about 5 years ago, and this is one of the books we read before I started working the second job. So, wow, maybe about 5 years. I've been at the second job for about 3.5, 4 years, actually going on 4 years by now. The story is about two young Jewish cousins that go into the comic book industry. One's a writer, one's an artist, and how the ins and outs on how those early artists and writers got screwed with wages and there was no pension. Like, it was a weird time. And comic book artists and writers, a lot of things have changed since then, but hopefully they're getting paid monetized better by this point. But it's one of those things you really don't want to ask someone when you have them onto the show. Like, how much do you get paid? You know, it's one of those things you just don't want to bring up to people. But I'm very cool that it's going to be a Showtime show. DC, okay, Crisis on Infinite Earths debuted this week. Started on Sunday, I believe. What do you guys think about it? Have you guys seen it? Your thoughts, opinions? There are a lot of cameos. I saw the tail end of episode one on Sunday. Literally the last 10, 15 minutes. So I saw what happens to somebody. Besides that, haven't seen anything else. But I just want to see the cameos. Next one is going to be Joker director pitched two more movies for DC Black Label. Todd Phillips pitched three films for DC with three directors, two Warner Brothers for DC Black Label. So they're doing that for comics as well. DC Black Label. Excuse me. Wow. I had a cough there. It's not part of DC continuity. And that's for the comics. So for the movies, it's going to be pretty much the same banner, just darker films that are not part of continuity or that don't belong structure-wise with the other movies in the DC Extended Universe. Next one is going to be Justice League Rider promises a Snyder Cut update soon. I mentioned that last week. There are people that are still curious about the Snyder Cut. I'm curious just because, but at the same time, I don't know how I feel about it. I actually don't care. Wonder Woman returns in first official trailer. Okay, this trailer looks good to me. The trailer for part one looked good to me too. And then you saw the movie and you realized, well, first act is not good. And second act is, wow, really extremely good. And then you watch it and it's like, wow, third act really falls apart. So I don't know. It looks a lot better to me, so that's good, right? How do you guys feel about it, though? Hit me up on the side at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at comic_cynic on Instagram. Just give me your thoughts and opinions. Next one's going to be The Batman. Matt Reeves' film gets an appropriately grim working title. The working title for Matt Reeves' upcoming The Batman has been revealed. The film will enter production under the title Vengeance. So, curious. I'm curious about these movies. Next one is going to be Marvel Disney Star Wars Oscar Isaac would turn down a Poe Dameron Disney Plus show. Interesting news. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker to introduce new force powers. This, I thought, was cool. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker will continue to expand the power set contained within the force, according to J.J. Abrams. It was really important that we not just redo the things you've seen, but add new elements, which we knew will infuriate some people and thrill others. You know what? If you got tapped into the Force, I'm kind of curious about it. Like, if you played any of the video games, The Force Unleashed, a bunch of the Star Wars games were Knights of the Old Republic, stuff like that. Like, you can see a sense of other Force abilities that haven't been seen or portrayed on screen. And there are probably going to piss off a lot of people. Like, it might piss me off, but I have my tickets ready for Star Wars next Friday, Saturday, and I'm stoked already, so I just want to see a good ending to something we all grew up with. Next one is going to be, Star Wars, still, Rise of Skywalker could pose seizure risk, warns Disney. Okay, so I work at a theater, second job, we're probably going to get these if we don't have them already. Disney has issued a warning to theaters around the world that visual and flashing light sequences could affect those with photosensitive epilepsy. Disney released a letter to theaters that reads, out of an abundance of caution, we recommend that you provide at your venue box office and online and at other appropriate places where your customers will see it unnoticed containing the following. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker contains several sequences with imagery and sustained flashing lights that may affect those who are susceptible to photosensitive epilepsy or have other photosensitivities. At least they caught it this time as opposed to Incredibles 2, where there's a really weird fucking scene and I can see why people would have got fucked up. Next one is going to be Marvel TV shows. TV shuts down with significant layoffs. Marvel Television is shutting down following a slew of cancellations that the exit of studio head Jeff Loeb. Any Marvel TV show currently in production will reportedly be wrapped up or wrapped into Marvel Studios, but all other projects in development will not move forward. The decision has been made to complete Marvel TV projects that are currently in production but not continue with any further development. How do we feel about that? Kevin Feige's in charge now, so he's moving the pieces wherever he sees fit, and he's been killing it so far. So why not? Marvel's multiverse is the next stage of MCU's evolution, Feige says. Kevin Feige promises the multiverse will become an integral part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and shape the future of the superhero franchise. This one is WandaVision introduces a character from King and Walt's Vision to the MCU. Kevin Feige recently hinted at the popular character from the King and Walt run of the Vision will appear in WandaVision. It's a great run. It's just Vision, written by Tom King. This whole run is like a 12-issue arc. Is worth reading and finding, purchasing, and having in your collection, guys. It's really great. And they want to introduce the dog Sparky to some capacity. Still on this one, Doctor Strange 2 has repercussions for a Disney Plus series besides WandaVision. Marvel Studios' Kevin Feige has teased that the next Doctor Strange movie will impact another Disney Plus series that isn't WandaVision. You know, when we first started the MCU, it was all about introducing the world to Tony Stark in the Iron Man armor, Feige said. The multiverse is the next step in the evolution of the MCU, and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is going to crack it wide open in ways that we have that will have repercussions for a Disney Plus series just before. That's not WandaVision, and for movies after it. Last news is just going to be comic news. The Flash and Wonder Woman comics return to legacy numbering in 2020. The change kicks off January 22nd with Wonder Woman number 750. Legacy numbers are original numberings for these titles. So Action Comics did it with issue 1000, and so did Detective Comics with 1000 as well. So this is going to be their 75th anniversaries, and that's what they're going to do. How it affects comic book shops in a weird way is interesting to go through and to know, because if I say, oh yeah, it's from volume 5 of Avengers, and it's Avengers 273, find that comic, is like, it's a library for the most part, so just keeping track of the new legacy numberings are always odd. All right, guys, that's all I got for comic news. I'm going to go through some reviews that I haven't been able to hit in a long time, and I really love this fucking title. It's a Marvel Comics title. It debuted, I believe, in April 2019, so earlier this year. Daredevil number 1 through about number 4. The current writer for this is Chip Zdarsky. Marco Cicchetto, and this run takes place right after Man Without Fear, which I have reviewed. The first 4 to 5 issue arc is about Matt Murdock going through his rehabilitation after he got hit by a bus to save a young boy. That did put him out of commission, along with taking a huge toll on his mindset and psyche. But Matt being Matt feels it's finally time to get back to work. So that's a great title, with him more dealing with like, okay, my body is fucked up, I'm jacked up, am I physically able to do this, and am I mentally strong enough to do it? So this run of Daredevil now is Matt finally realizing I can do it. So the Man Without Fear is definitely worth checking out, especially after the Charles Soule run. Please also check that out, Daredevil, Charles Soule. But yeah, Google that, please. The art of this one is just beautiful. So Marco Cicchetto is already killing it, and the art style stands out, especially for a Daredevil title, and the way Chip Zdarsky writes the script is gorgeous, and the way Marco Cicchetto again portrays Matt Murdock's radar sense is fucking dope to see, and everyone has a different style. This one starts off with Matt Murdock at a bar working what he does to find some company. It sounds weird. But funny aside about the pills he's taking. So he's popping some pills and flirting with a young woman. But as this goes down, it's really cool that Chip Zdarsky uses the opportunity to revisit Matt and his father. So a young Matt Murdock and his father. So this title constantly jumps. So any instance he has as an adult, there's always these flashback sequences with him and his father, and how he and his father were always, or his father was always supporting Matt, even when he's looking out for others. So a young boy without any ability is just, you know, doing the right thing. This is before the accident. So as a young boy, a bully kind of screwed over some kid over baseball cards, and he's like, "I'll give you this card for that card." And he's like, "Matt, what did you do? You broke and entered this household." He's like, "No, I didn't break and enter. The door was open, so I walked in and I just walked out with something that didn't belong to this guy." A good take from a innocent child. But very cool how we see the aspect of Matt and his religious upbringing. Like, his dad's always sending him to church, and we see this faith in the church he has. We're introduced to a new detective, so current times now, in Hell's Kitchen, detective from Chicago named Cole North, that appears to be a legit cop, now just wanting to clean up New York and just Hell's Kitchen and weed out any corrupt cops. It just so happens, though, that now after the events of the past few years, Kingpin is now the mayor of New York. That has a zero-tolerance policy for heroes, and where the picture is pretty much painted of several conflicts now that are eventually going to intertwine. Which only sucks even more so now because Matt is still not 100% his daredevil self yet. He's off his mind, his senses, like he came back too soon. And after trying to stop a usual simple robbery, something bad goes down, and a man is accidentally killed that Matt feels wholeheartedly responsible for, even though he keeps going over what happened in his head. I'm a huge Daredevil fan and already love the back and forth with the storytelling that Chip Zdarsky is using with Matt as a man now and Matt as a young boy. And Matt Murdock wakes up, can't sleep, lying in that hospital bed, waiting for my body to knit itself back together. It was like being caged, screaming without a voice. And now I'm out of the cage. I've only been back as Daredevil a week or so. But God, I needed it. It was sloppy tonight, going after that guy with the costume. But he shot a man, killed him, and got away with it. My radar sense, it used to bring me some sense of joy. Quote unquote, feeling everything around me, defining my surroundings. But lately, it just feels like another cage. And these panels are gorgeous. Guys, please find this. You guys can find these out in trade paperback by now, the first five at least. I feel the walls, the ceiling. I feel the box. It vibrates off of windows. It's like a song, the tiny rattle of the outside, pressing against it. The change of temperature running through it. It all reminds me. Sorry about that. And again, guys, the art is gorgeous. I'll give you his name again. The change of temperature. The way that as a writer you have to give descriptions of this is what he's seeing. This is what he is feeling. And for an artist to draw a blind man and what a blind man sees, it comes through in this. So it's just really beautiful. So now it's young Matt back again. These flashback scenes. The priest, "Matthew, is your father here?" "Matt, no. Dad's working. He's always working. The hospital bills were... He wanted me to come here. So I came. I can get home on my own just fine. And I don't need confession. I'm blind now, Father. I can't do anything. And if I can't do anything, I can't sin." The priest, "You and I both know that isn't true. I can hear it in your voice. Your sin is hating God. You saved a man's life, and God took your sight. Everything you feel right now is normal. When God takes from us, it can be hard to feel what he's given us. The beauty of this world isn't just one of sights. It seems like right now, but I believe God is revealing the world to you in other ways on the road to the man you'll become. You'll experience the world like I can't even imagine. It's okay to be angry at God. Now, Matthew, it's understandable, but believe me, God loves you. Moments of personal, physical, emotional, just psychological struggles as he tries to get back to himself, even as a kid. So Matt Daredevil now, unbelievable, I fought the Hulk, Ultron, armies of ninjas, and my obituary almost just read, Daredevil, killed by three robbers. Oh, and by the way, he was Matt Murdock, local lawyer and former mayor. I've got to get better. The injuries, the years, how much longer can I do this? He's just asking himself. His own inner monologue. And just the realization for him is dope to see. This is a great series on so many aspects. Like, just check it out, guys. Daredevil, Chip Zdarsky. Anyone's own self-worth or morality, realization, humility, along with, like, this new detective wanting to clean up the city of the vigilantes versus this corrupt mayor that hates you. The conflicts that's bound to and does erupt across the board pertaining to all three is pretty great to see. Even his street-level friends, you see them in beautiful and fucked-up ways, along with his best friend questioning what's happened. And his best friend is Foggy Nelson. It wasn't me, Foggy. I didn't do it. I'm getting set up. He's trying to figure out all the ins and outs, knowing he's innocent and knowing no one believes him, not even his friends, having no one to talk to because they all feel the job has taken a toll on him. And he's finally kind of losing himself. He just wants answers over the dead body, checking his heartbeat. He goes to a doctor. And it's really great because he starts interrogating this doctor. You did this, the doctor says. That man is dead because of you. If you came here to ascribe blame, it's not going to happen. Sometimes I can't save people. I do my best, but I can fall short. This isn't one of those times. That man was going to die no matter what we did. You know, I've patched up guys who crossed you. All of us have. If anyone knows how precise you are, how surgical with inflicting violence, it's me. Every one of those people you send to the hospital gets better. I don't know how you manage to know bodies that intimately. But trust me when I say this, you've screwed up. Somebody's dead and you need to stop with the violence. There are other ways to help. I mean, with your abilities. As Daredevil gets pissed off because he's reading his heartbeat, making sure he's telling the truth. He's hurt enough and gets pissed. He knows he's not lying. And as you hear, and he zips away. Pissed off, the doctor finishes saying, you should have been a doctor. So, I mean, with your abilities, you should have been a doctor. Just beautiful to see that. So now it goes back into this new detective, meets Mayor Fisk for the first time, which is a great interaction. Daredevil does what he can to get his head straight by still protecting people, but knowing his friends still don't believe him. As we see other players now in motion, the Owl and another first interaction between Detective Cole North and Daredevil now. And that ends terrible for Matt, and it's a beautiful fucking scene. He gets shot and known again. He shouldn't be at this. Like, so this cop's finally on his trail now because he's not full Daredevil yet. He kind of gets caught. And there's this really beautiful scene. And Daredevil kind of books it at first until they're finally surrounded. And we see a bunch of cops come out. And Daredevil does have a gun because he just took it away from a criminal. So it looks like, okay, he's going to shoot. The cop, Cole North, comes up with his gun. Put your weapon down. He's like, cool, let's do it this way. And all the cops are just watching this. We don't know which ones are shady. And it's just really cool to see all the cops and everyone that's there, they all believe that in the work that Daredevil is doing and has been doing, and how he saved and protected their brothers and sisters in arms, firefighters, cops, other cops, their friends, innocent civilians. And these two, Daredevil and Cold North, go at it and just throw down and scrap it out. And it's sad because we just don't see that Daredevil doesn't have it in him to keep up. He's getting rocked and he gets arrested. It's just beautiful to see. And he gets his ass kicked, and even to see that moment with the cops, like, no, he might not be a cop, but he's New York, like, he's one of our brothers, so they don't want to arrest him. It's just really beautiful to see. He gets arrested, my senses don't point in any one direction, so I feel everyone's face is looking toward me. Left arm is dead, woozy from loss of blood, and the beating, a lifetime of beating. Pain shoots through every inch of me. I can't fight this. I'm sorry, Foggy. I can't. As he gets cuffed. As we see the head cop now fight for him. Hey, I don't know who the hell you are, but you're definitely not New York. This man has done good for the city. For the cops. He may not be official police, but he's policed as far as I'm concerned. And we look out for our own. So he's able to keep his mask now. And per this cop, like, no, well, we don't want to know who he is. We don't care who he is, but he's going to keep his mask on until he gets to the station. Really just cool. So now we see, where we see one of Daredevil's friends now that pushes him to this dark history. So we see a bunch of the cop cars getting shot out, and he saves Matt Murdock, or Daredevil. As Daredevil is still cuffed, he falls out of the car, and he sees an old friend. As Daredevil was passing out again, all I know is this is bad. He finally awakens. And the man says, congrats, you'll live. Where? But even better than that, you've seen the light. The first of his street-level friends happens to be someone with a completely different night and day ideology. And the man that saved him is Frank. So we see Daredevil saved by Frank now. In a twisted way, is finally reveling in how he's finally stepped up as these ideologies flare up now. I always thought you were a phony. You're a psychopath, Frank. Even Matt in this state knows Frank's ideals are never his own. As the wonderful pages and panels are just displayed as Daredevil, Matt finally snaps and lashes out and hurts his friend. Daredevil gets pissed. Do you have any idea? Any idea at all what I can do? The level of carnage I could unleash with a gun in my hand. The number of dead if I decided to be like you. Like, the things he'd ask to punish her as he just totally unleashes and shoots out a kneecap and kind of blows up his place. And it's beautiful. And even Matt blowing up the place is like, fuck, that was a bad idea. His sonar and just his hearing, he knew it was a bad idea. Anyway, it's just beautiful. He realizes it's time to go to work as he bails now, and more friends pop in after getting rocked. Danny Rand, so Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, they came to help me. No, they know I'm a murderer. They're here to stop me. And they're like, why the fuck are you running around with a Punisher shirt on? You maniac? Have you really lost it that bad? He's like, okay, funny story. I'm blind and I couldn't see what the design was on the shirt. And it's funny because it's like he's fucking blind still. He can't see a pattern on a shirt, but it's just beautiful. He's like, I thought it was just a t-shirt. I needed a fucking hide. So it's really dope. And just to see even this scene is dope. So now his friends know this. He's confessing to them what he now believes he's done. As he's flooding with emotions now. Like, he's like, I killed an innocent man. Like, I'm not there. I'm not where I should be. And now, again, these emotions hit him. He leaves his friends now, seeking some sort of retribution now. So he goes to church. And then we see him beat up, bloodied, and just battered. Daredevil says, finally arriving to his home now. Wait, someone's here. Impossibly quiet. The hand? No, there is a heartbeat. A strong one. I can almost hear his muscles tighten, coiled with incredible strength and control. He's pure power and doesn't even know it. The best of us. And he's here in my home. Daredevil. You're a mess. You're in trouble and on a suicide mission. And I'm here to tell you, you're done. All of us know that we can't do this job forever. That there's going to come a day when we make too many missteps, when our bodies fail, when too many people get hurt, and not enough get saved. I'd hoped somebody would step up and let me know when it's my day. Right now, it's your day. It's over, Matt says. You're right. I know you're right. I've been looking for the answers, and I thought it was to push on. Harder and more relentless, ignoring what my body, what my heart is telling me. I can't do this anymore. As Spider-Man answers, God loves you, Matthew. Hold on to that and do the right thing. Renounce this violence. Cast out that devil. Really beautiful. So continues on this whole story. That's about the first arc. By Daredevil number 7, Matt quits the job, finally living and not being Daredevil. By this point, none of Cole North's partners or other members of the PD like nor trust him anymore. So some shady cops now get together to try to take him out. There's a 5-on-1 where we finally hear gunshots and see a man who has taken out the crew, the policemen that were after him, and women. But in that, this man leaves a cryptic message. Thanks from the owl for getting rid of Daredevil. All while this goes down, we see the city for what it is when it's left unprotected. We see the gangs, the mobs, just taking more money from small businesses. And it's beautiful yet kind of fucked up as a woman goes to a party store now where she witnesses this thing firsthand and looks for cover. So it's one of the mobs asking the small town shop, we need more money. You're not paying us enough. So to see how the street level goes really dark when someone like Daredevil's not there to help out. And she's in this costume store, and she's freaked out. And as the store owner is getting threatened, she looks up and she sees it's kind of cute, and it's again beautiful and yet fucked up. The fact that it happens is fucked up. But to see her look up and she sees face masks of a bunch of superheroes, and then when she happens to look up on happens to be a Daredevil face mask. So when it really ends there, just like this is what happens when someone that's needed leaves his job. Next issue, number 8, is pretty much Cole now just in the hospital as he continues to work to try to figure out things that are going on. All the while now, there have been sightings of Daredevil. It doesn't faze Matt, though, once he finds this out. He just knows he's comfortable walking away from that life and lifestyle now. And with this, we also get another change in heart, but now from Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, that now gives up his underground criminal empire so he can focus now on being mayor. Although still a shady one, warning them, the other mobs, the other gangs, that warning them to continue to pay their dues, but also to keep the crime rate at a reasonable level so he can overlook them. So, I mean, you figure if you're the mayor, might as well go full fucking villain. The flip of the coin, though, both done with their jobs, we still get stories of the spark Daredevil started. as the hope he gave the city, people putting on now fake masks and people going out of their way to help people just because it's the right thing to do. And we get a beautiful page and panel of what he does with his free nights now. He's still able to hear everything, so he stays up late and calls in and reports everything. Robberies, muggings, drug deals, violence. As we get a beautiful and fucked up page of how he hears the world. It's a beautiful page, and it just panels and how he hears things is fucked up. And it's beautiful. It's just great to see it from Chip and the great art from Marco Cicchetto is beautiful. This title is worth checking out, guys. Again, find it. Trade paperback. It's Daredevil. It's great. I loved it. Do I got a little bit more? No. Just find it, guys. That's pretty much the first two arcs. I love it. It's one I've been going to. There's a bunch of stuff I've been catching up on. So anytime I review or go through these, I like to ingest a lot at a time. And yeah, that's all I got. You know what? Yeah, fuck it. If you guys like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts at The Comic Syndicate, or always hit thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I hope you guys like the show. Share the podcast more than anything. Share the podcast. Rate the podcast. Give us a review. But leave some stars wherever you guys do listen. And yeah, that's all I got. I have some interesting numbers I'm going to be tossing up soon. So yeah, find me. Share me. Please, guys. All right. I appreciate it. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.